You know, we're going through this series, and I have just been really blessed personally going through the series, the parables of Yeshua, Yeshua's words. You know, anytime you can really dig into Yeshua and understand what he was getting at, it's always a blessing. So the danger is, though, you know, when you read things like the parables of Yeshua, like the Sermon on the Mount, you get this glazed over thing, like you read it 50 million times and it just kind of like you start, you know, finishing the phrases and you kind of gloss over it in your mind. But I just encourage you not to do that. Really take some time to go through these and think through these things, because parables are simple, but they illustrate something that's not simple, that's very complex. The founder of the Calvary Chapels, you know, Calvary Chapel is a very, it's not a denomination per se, but since the 60s, Calvary Chapels have popped up and they've been very successful in bringing people to the Lord and discipling people. And the founder of Calvary Chapel, Chuck Smith, said it best, I think. He said, "The purpose of a parable is always to illustrate a truth, to illustrate a truth." You know, if you think about it, the world is very complicated. The world that you and I live in is extremely difficult. It's extremely complicated. There's all these nuances, those aspects. The things of the Lord can seem very complicated, nuanced. Oh, what do I do about this? What do I do about this? How do I interpret that scripture? We think of these things, we tend to think of these things also in black and white. You know, there's the black and white things of God, and I've got to make sure I get all this in my head. But parables, to me, when we talk about a parable illustrating a truth or truths, to me, I think of the parables as these stories that provide color, right? When you're a kid, you know, you have these coloring books, and now adults have coloring books. Have you seen this? Adult coloring books? They're very intricate, actually. But they're these black and white books, and kids have these black and white coloring books, and you give them crayons, and they just color it in, all these different beautiful colors, and it brings it to life. You know, when something's black and white, it's kind of like hazy. You know, like when you used to look at the old, you ever watched a movie in black and white and gray, and some of you remember black and white, right, back in the day, and I didn't mean that as a put down, but, you know, in the 50s, when television came out, it was great, but it was all in black and white. And if you ever watch the old shows, they're really neat. But I always wondered myself, you know, what was the color of that person's coat or whatever? And now with Technicolor and with color, it just brings it out. You know, it brings it to life. It illustrates for us the idea, the story, the thing that's trying to be communicated. So remember, parables are those things that illustrate the black and white of life and make color out of them. There was a jingle back in the 70s and I think the 80s, you know, General Electric, GE, and the jingle was basically, "We bring good things to life." How many of you remember that jingle, right? A lot of people remember GE, "We bring good things to life." Well, a parable brings good things to life. So whenever you think about GE now, I want you to think of parables. They bring good things to life. I'm not going to sing it for you, but you can probably sing the jingle. You remember the jingle. What better thing in the kingdom of God than to bring those truths, those complicated truths of God to life for us? And that's what I want to key in on today. Today, we're going to look at the book of Mark. If you want to turn to the book of Mark chapter 4, we're going to look at one of those parables, and we're going to take our crayons today, so to speak, and we're going to color those crayon. We're going to use those crayons and color those coloring books today. And we're talking about the parable of the mustard seed. Okay, Mark chapter 4, verses 30 and 32. I'm going to just read it. It'll be on your screen there. It's a very short parable, but there's a lot of good stuff in here that we can color today. And he said, Yeshua said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it?" Okay, so stop right there. So we're not talking about, you know, the little things in life. We're talking about this big concept, the kingdom of God. There's not much bigger concepts than the kingdom of God. So Yeshua is saying, what can I use to illustrate for you the kingdom of God? What can I use to bring it out in technicolor so you can see the fullness of the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall I use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown in the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. And yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. It's a beautiful parable. It's a short parable. But remember, it's telling us about this profound truth, the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you today, and as I was meditating on this and thinking about this and asking the Lord what to talk about, this came to mind. The parable, and most of us get this when we read this parable. The parable is all about faith, right? Faith is powerful. Faith can do things. But faith in what? We can have faith. People have faith in all different things today. You can have faith in your job. Man, my job is such a great job. I'm so glad I have my job. Or you can have faith in your wealth. You can have faith in your family. You can have faith in your marriage or whatever it is. Your health. We can put faith in things, but we have to be careful when we say, oh, it's all about faith. Well, faith in what? Because faith in the wrong things is not lasting. It's not going to show us the picture of the kingdom of God. We have to look at what this faith is all about. Having faith doesn't guarantee things will happen for us, because we have to say, what are we putting our faith in? This applies to us as believers as well. You know, a lot of non-believers out there, they've got their faith in all these weird things, right? You can clearly see that. Oh, that person's doing all that. That person's doing all that. I'm a believer. Thank goodness, you know, I don't have my faith in those weird things of the world. Well, it applies to us as believers too, this idea of potentially misplacing your faith. We can have faith in the work that we do for the Lord, right? Do you have faith in God or the work that you're doing for God? There's a difference. You cannot just put faith in yourself to do great things for the Lord. So listen to what I'm saying. People put their faith in all different manner of things, but without putting your faith in the Lord Himself rather than the things of the Lord or the works that you're doing for the Lord, that's the difference. Faith placed in the Lord above all things is the right kind of faith that we need to have. The right kind of faith that this parable is illustrating for us. We put our faith in ourselves a lot as believers. If I do this for the kingdom, if I do this for the synagogue, look at how much I'm doing for my synagogue. Look at how much I'm giving to the poor. Look at how much I'm volunteering here or doing. And those are all great things, don't get me wrong. But we have to be careful not to place our faith in those things. Place our faith in the one who is and is to come. And by His grace, He allows us to do these things. It's a different state of mind. It's not about us. John the Baptist, Yochanan the Immerser, said this, John 3:30. He, meaning God, must increase, but I must decrease. Listen, you could be increasing yourself all day long, listing out all of your accomplishments that you've done for the kingdom of God. Listing all the people you brought to the Lord. Listing all the things that you've been able to do and give to and give up your time to. But if you're not putting your faith in Him, you're increasing. Those things are increasing. And don't get me wrong, those things need to increase. But if we put our faith in Him, He's going to increase and the kingdom of God's going to grow. But when we put our faith in the things of this world or the things that we do even for the Lord, we're increasing. We need to decrease so that He can increase. Are we trying to decrease today so that God may increase in us? When we have faith, and here's the other thing that God, I feel like the Lord really put on my heart about this. It's about faith, but it's also about submission. Okay? If we have faith combined with a healthy dose of submission to God, great things can and will happen. To me, that's what this parable is about. It's not just faith. It's faith and submission. Letting the Lord increase and us decreasing. placing our faith in God and knowing that through Him, we can do everything. Only through Him can we do everything. It's faith, but it's also submission. We are the body of Messiah. We are His hands and feet, yes. But the body, you know, He's the head, we're the body. Ever heard the phrase, the body of Messiah, whatever? Well, it means we're the body of Yeshua. He's the head, we're the body. Some of us are an arm, some of us are a leg, some of us are this and that. But we're all working for a common purpose, the kingdom of God, under the headship of Yeshua, the Messiah. The body doesn't function right when the leg decides it wants to go this way and do things for the kingdom of God, and the arm says, well, I want to go over here because this is the most bang for our buck in the kingdom of God. That's not submission to the head. That's the eye doing what they want to do, and the leg doing what they want to do, and the knee doing what it wants to do, and all of a sudden you've got chaos, and you don't have submission to the Lord. It's faith, but it's also submission. James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can get so caught up with the things of doing things for God that you can be sinning. You can be missing the mark, focusing too much on yourself, focusing too much on what you see in front of you rather than the giver of all life. Have you ever had an eye twitch? You ever had like a leg twitch or an eye twitch, and it's like, ah, it won't go away. You're gonna like, you got to hold your eye, and then it takes a while for it to go away. Well, that's kind of like when we, in the body, we start doing our own thing. It screws things up, right? You got this eye twitch that's, or this arm twitch that's doing all this, and it's not functioning with the rest of the body. Don't be an arm twitch. Don't be an eye twitch. Let's function under the headship of the Lord. The brain tells the body what to do. My brain just told my body, my arm, to do this, right? It's, you know, when you think about it, it's like, it's crazy how split second it is. Yeshua gives the instructions, we carry it out. Faith in the one who gives the instructions and submission to the headship of Messiah. That's what the illustration is here today. Faith and submission. That's what this is about. So it shows us the power of faith combined with submission, yielding great results for the kingdom of God. Amen. So a little bit of background on the mustard seed. You know, we talk about this mustard seed, and many people kind of know what a mustard seed is, but the idea, obviously, is it's very, very small. 1 to 2 millimeters in diameter. They are not the smallest of seeds. Some critics of the Bible say, well, this is an obvious error because Yeshua says this is the smallest of all seeds. See, the Bible is contradictory, or the Bible says things that are not right. We have to remember that the Bible is written in a Jewish context in the Jewish world at a time. It is not the smallest of all seeds, but Yeshua is making a point when he says it's the smallest of all seeds. In Jewish expression, you can't always take the literal approach to things. You can't always say, oh, well, he said it's the smallest of all seeds. It's not. The whole Bible's wrong, or this is an error, or this is that. If you understand the Jewish mindset, it becomes a little clearer. Matthew 24:2. Yeshua says there, and I don't have it on the screen, but every stone on the temple will be torn down. Remember when he is in Jerusalem and with the disciples, and they're saying, man, look at the grandeur of the temple. Look at this place. Amazing. Look at the work of man's hands. This is awesome. He says, no. Every stone will be torn down. Of course, he's predicting this. He's prophesying this. But if you've ever been to Israel or seen pictures, you see the Western Wall, and there's still stones together. There's still stones that have not been torn down. So even though Yeshua says not every stone will fall from the temple, it's not a literal every stone, because there are still stones together in the temple. You have to understand the Jewish mindset. He's trying to convey a meaning here. And when he says it's the smallest of all seeds, he's trying to get us to understand something here. It actually was the smallest of all seeds in Israel at the time and in the Jewish world. Maybe not in the entire world. But again, Yeshua is trying to make a point. And then with a parable, you're not going to start quoting and telling people, well, if mathematically, you have to understand. And, you know, size-wise, diameter-wise, it's not the smallest. Because in Africa somewhere, they don't know Africa. They're talking about, he's talking to common people in Jerusalem who are relatively poor, who don't know anything outside of their county or their city or whatever. To them, this is their world. He is explaining things in ways they can understand. That's the purpose of a parable. So you have to understand the Jewish context and the Jewish mindset when he's saying things like that. We have problems. We have had problems in the body of Messiah over the years because people get a hold of the text and they say, whoop, it says this. It's got to mean this. And they take such a literal approach and such a Western American mindset that we go in all these crazy different directions, or a Roman mindset. If you look over the last 2,000 years, people have said things like, well, God has these promises for Israel, and there's no more Israel. The temple was destroyed, the second temple, and we're the church now in Rome. So, you know what? These things must apply to us. So then they get into replacement theology. It's very dangerous. We can't do that. We have to be careful to not take a literal approach to things sometimes. Thinking through with a Jewish context, with a Middle Eastern thought process. You know, in the Middle East, people think differently than they think in America. They don't think as linearly. You know, I think of it like engineers, you know, or accountants. We think of things very linearly, like A plus B, and this and that. Well, that's not how people think in the Middle East. They look for broader concepts. They look for the idea behind it. The details don't matter as much. This is the world that Yeshua is talking through. This is the world he's talking about. Jewish texts compare the earth as like a mustard seed in comparison to the vast universe. This is how Jewish texts describe the mustard seed and show the mustard seed. And what the point behind this is, it shows the world and all its splendor and its significance and all these stars and planets and everything, and how insignificant we are to be a little mustard seed in the midst of this vast universe. So it's teaching that, and it's teaching humility. The rabbis would use this to teach humility. Who are we? You know, Judaism is all about that. Who are we that we should have favor with you, Lord? The insignificance of man. This is what we're trying to accomplish when we talk about the mustard seed. The insignificance of man amongst the vast universe of God. It's not about us. The word in Greek, because when it says larger, because this small grain, this mustard seed, must become a larger than all the garden plants, when it says it in the scriptures. The word in Greek for larger is megas, or mega. You know, we get the word mega, big, big. So from the smallest of all seeds in the Jewish world comes a mega plant. From small beginnings comes great things. If our faith is but a mustard seed, we can do extraordinary things for the kingdom of God. There's power, the power of the Lord, that fuels things, that grows things. People can get saved. They can come to know the Lord. People can have restored relationships. People can have healings because of even a little bit of faith combined with a little bit of submission does great things, mega things in the kingdom of God. And this is a really great parable to illustrate the kingdom of God. So it's about faith and it's about submission, having small beginnings turning into something big. And there's another thing that's going on here that we can kind of read between the lines about, is that it's all about God, right? And God has no bounds. He has no limits. We have limits. We're a little tiny mustard seed, but God has no bounds. God can do all of this. How great is our God? How awesome our Most High God? We sang about it today. It's inconceivable. Listen, just in the logical mindset, it's inconceivable that a guy with 12 followers 2,000 years ago can have such an effect on this world today. 12 followers, one guy, now a billion people profess faith in him. That's the explosive growth of the kingdom of God with faith and submission. It's amazing. It's pretty awesome. Faith, submission to God can endure things like persecutions, hardships, and it seems like the kingdom of God just continues to grow when there's persecution and hardship. Now, we don't have a lot of persecution and hardship in America, right? Sometimes you have a little bit of persecution you experience, but in places like China, where you can be imprisoned for your faith. In places like Syria, where you can be killed for faith. You know, the kingdom of God is exploding in places like Syria. We don't hear about it, but it's because it's happening in all these little home congregations that are off the radar. Because if they went on the radar, there'd be a lot more killings. And there are Christians, believers, are getting murdered in the Muslim world today. But faith, but the kingdom of God is growing exponentially. Even in places like Israel, where it's still very taboo to believe in Yeshua. You know, I remember just this past year, I don't know if we saw it so much in America, but you know, you have the American Idol here where there's the Israeli Idol. Every country's got one of these shows. Anyway, one of the big thing was there was this contestant on Israeli Idol. I don't even know if it's called Israeli Idol, whatever. The Israel version of American Idol. And she was a believer in Yeshua. Jewish girl was a believer in Yeshua. Some of you know the story, but she publicly said on the show, "I'm a believer in Yeshua." And it was like, you know, because it's still so taboo in Israel. I mean, it's around, but Israel, there's explosive growth of the Messiah in Israel, but you're not going to read about it on the news. There's explosive growth in Syria, but you're not going to read about it on the news. But these things are happening, and they're happening in the midst of persecution. The kingdom of God grows whether man wants it to grow or not. Man cannot get in the way of what God is doing. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Do you know how many times man has tried to snuff out the things of God over the last 2,000 years? And do you know how many times it's failed? Every time. We're here. A billion people professing faith in Yeshua. Thousands and thousands of Israelis now coming to know the Lord. It's happening. And it's happening because of faith and submission to God. And it's happening that this little mustard seed can grow into great things for the kingdom of God. It's amazing. And it's just awesome when you think about it. Man cannot prevail against the plans of God. God is going to have his purpose revealed. And his purpose has happened. And you know how the scripture says, if we're not going to do it, he's going to use the rocks to do it. God's going to find a way to have things happen. How about we get on board and get that faith and submission going on so he uses us? I don't want to be passed by. Oh, he's going to use the next guy because I didn't listen. Let's get on board the train and go with the Lord. It's a better ride there than being off the train and walking. You know, riding on a high-speed train is a lot better than walking somewhere, right? Let's get on the high-speed train of God. This doesn't mean that everybody in the world is going to suddenly get on board and become followers of Yeshua, too. We have to be careful. This does not mean the entire world is going to become a believer in Yeshua. We know that's not going to happen. There's still evil in the world today, just like there was still evil in the world 2,000 years ago. And as the Lord tarries, there's still going to be evil. In fact, it seems like the evil is growing in the world, doesn't it? It seems like the darkness is growing out there. But in the midst of that darkness, there's pockets of light growing too. We cannot forget that. And until Yeshua returns, there will be evil in the world. You know, there's another aspect of this parable that has a lot of commentators and scholars divided, and I want to touch on it briefly. Mark 4:32. Yet when it is sown with this mustard seed grow, it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Now, some say the birds of the air are more and more people coming on board to the kingdom of God, right? More and more people, and the kingdom of God increasing and increasing. Some commentators believe that the birds are actually agents of evil, the actual opposite, since birds are symbolizing evil in some of the other parables that Yeshua refers to. So there's a difference of opinion about who these birds are. Are these people that come to know the Lord? Is it evil that's trying to outdo things or use the things of God maybe for their own purposes? I'm not going to profess to you that I know the answer because nobody really knows the answer because there's a lot of debate on this. But we can't know everything about Scripture. But here's what we do know. We got to go back to what we understand and what we know. The mustard seeds are faith, which will produce great results. That's the message. If it's done in submission to the will of the Father, and we do know the entire world is not going to get on board. So we have to have a healthy dose of reality that even though the Word of God is growing, that some people are not going to get on board that high-speed train. And that's their choice. So we have to just be rejoicing that the kingdom of God continues to grow. And if we're with the Lord, we're going to grow with the Lord. And we're going to see God do great and mighty things. Even so, we've already seen it. Look what God has done already in our lives and in your life today. But I want to conclude today talking about this parable. And it just, I love how the Lord does things. It really beautifully ties in to what's starting tonight. Tonight begins Shavuot, which is an amazing holiday, and Shavuot or Pentecost, and it starts tonight, and I don't think it was any, and I didn't do this message thinking, oh, Shavuot's tonight, I'm going to tie this in. It was the Lord that just kind of brought it all together, and His timing. We've been counting the Omer 50 days between Passover and Shavuot. Shavuot, listen, is the day in history when the Torah was given on Mount Sinai. Shavuot is also the day when the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, came down on the small band of 120 believers, right? It went from one guy, 12 guys, 120 in a matter of 50 days. They were all sitting there waiting. And the Holy Spirit came down on Shavuot, this time in history, this day in history. And from 120 to 3,000 more were added. 3,000 people came to believe in Yeshua. This was the beginning of the expansion of God. And it's just grown from there. It started off in Jerusalem, continued on to Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. It said that disciples dispersed and this disciple went over to this country. This disciple went over to this country and it just spread like that. We know the Apostle Paul, Rav Shaul, he went to Rome. He went to Ephesus. He went to the Asia Minor areas. And we know God continued to use these men who had faith and submission to God so that the Word of God might spread. And that's kind of what's going on here tonight and with Shavuot is the Word of God going out. The Word of God was given at Sinai. God's instructions, God's perfect way of living. We would have had chaos if we didn't have the Torah of God, the instructions on what to do. Don't kill people. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't, you know, covet. How would we not know what's evil if we didn't have the Torah as our instructions? So God provided instructions for us, and then 2,000 years ago on Shavuot, boom, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh came down, and we started experiencing that expansion of the kingdom of God. We started seeing people in a powerful, major way come to faith, and it just continued to spread. So it's perfect that we're talking about this tiny little mustard seed becoming this huge plant. We think about that one person, those 12 people, the 120, 3,000, and then beyond, and how God has done so many things. The fact that you and I are even here today as believers, amazing, because of what happened 2,000 years ago on Shavuot. God took 12 men, ordinary, everyday people, and started something. And through their faith and submission to the Lord and His will, God used them as His instruments. I wonder if, you know, you got a lot of faith. Maybe you got well-placed faith. But imagine if they weren't in submission to the Lord. Oh, I think I want to go over here and start a congregation. But maybe God's not showing you to go there. You know, what if the Apostle Paul didn't go to Rome? He's like, I don't want to go to Rome. You know, too many Romans. They're going to try to kill me and all this stuff. I don't really like that. I want to go over to the Caribbean. That's really where I want to go. Hang out by the pool, by the beach. And thank God he chose that place, you know. Faith and submission to God. You know, as we prepare ourselves for Shavuot tonight, we need to think about faith and submission. Do we have faith to know that God's going to do things in our lives? Do we have faith? First of all, do we place our faith, even as believers, in ourselves and our works and the things, or do we place our faith in God? So you got to ask yourself that. Are you placing your faith in the right place? And then you have to say, well, with that faith, am I submitting? Am I a twitching eye, or am I in line with what the head is telling me to do if I'm a finger, you know? He's saying to move, I'm going to move the finger. He's saying to move the arm, I'm going to move the arm. Are we in line with what God wants? Because let me tell you, things are not going to happen in our lives. Restoration is not going to happen. The peace that passes all understanding is not going to continue to grow in you. You're not going to really get to understand the Lord and have a closer and closer personal relationship unless you decrease and allow Him to increase. God is not going to just say, hey, get out of the way. You know, we got God and us inside of us. And God's not going to like try to elbow us out. We got to elbow ourselves out. Get out and let Him get in. Less and less of us, more and more of God. With that faith, with that submission, God is going to use you. You could say, oh, that's really nice speech, but I am just a little person. Well, there was just 12 little people 2,000 years ago that God used. These guys were not scholars. These guys had funny accents from the Galilee. These guys were like fishermen, like common people, but God used them. Why? They got out of the way. They allowed God to get in the way. Okay? So I'm telling you, it's good that you're insignificant. I'm insignificant too. That allows us to say, oh, we're insignificant. Let's get out of the way and let Him work in our lives. And you're going to be amazed at what God does for you, and what God shows you to do, and how He uses you for His purposes, for the kingdom of God. We are a little mustard seed, but God can take that mustard seed and plant us and have us affect so many people for the kingdom of God and do so many things for His glory and His purposes. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank You. We praise You. God, I love just reading Your word. I love digging into Your word and really understanding, God, what is it all about? It's all about You. It's not about me. It's not about, okay, now that I'm a believer, I can just continue to rub the genie and get all the things that I want. That's not what this is about. This is about a journey of a relationship with You. And Lord, with faith in You and with submission to You, Lord, great things can happen. Lord, we all screw up. I screw up. Some days I'm not very submitted to You, Lord God. But I pray that I would decrease today and that You would increase. And I pray for each and every person that's here or listening on the recordings later, Lord God, that You would just convict us to decrease more and to submit more to You. We want to hear from You. We want You to increase. And Lord, as You increase, do great things, Lord God. Use us for whatever You want. It may seem insignificant to us, but we don't even know who we're affecting and what we're affecting. Just by living our lives, just by living our little old lives, we could be bringing people to the kingdom of God. They could see our lifestyle. They could see You through our lifestyle, Lord. And I just pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that we would have that understanding to know if we just get out of the way, Lord, faith and submission is what it's all about, and You are going to do mighty things for Your kingdom. This is what it's all about, is the kingdom of God. You must increase, we must decrease. We thank You, God. We worship You, we praise You, Lord, and we just rejoice and take our rest in You today. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.